أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
سورة الملك is a Makki surah and it contains 30 verses, 330 words and 1313 حروف. This surah was revealed at the early stages of prophethood. So it is one of those surahs that was revealed in the early Meccan era. The Prophet ﷺ said with regards to this surah, إِنَّ سُورَةً فِي الْقُرْآنِ 30 آيَةً شَفَعَتْ لِصَاحِبِهَا حَتَّى غُفِرَ لَهُ. Verily, there is a chapter in the Qur'an which contains 30 ayat, 30 verses. And these verses, this surah, will intercede on behalf of its reciter until he is forgiven. And this surah is تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. For who will the surah intercede? The one who recites it. Not one who recites it once in a while, hardly ever. No, the one who recites it regularly. The Prophet ﷺ also said about this surah, there is a chapter of the Qur'an that will argue on behalf of its reciter until it causes him to enter into paradise. It will continue to argue until its reciter enters paradise. And that surah is تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, it was the custom of the Prophet ﷺ, do not go to sleep until he had read تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ and أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ السَّجْدَ. So this shows to us that when a person regularly recites the surah every night in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then the surah will actually intercede for him on the Day of Judgment and will argue on his behalf until he is admitted into paradise. In another hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ said, Suratul Mulk is the protector from the torment of the grave. When a person recites it, when a person reads it regularly, and he understands it, he is reminded by it, then what will happen? His actions will change. And the surah will also be a means of protection against the torment of the grave. The name of the surah, Al-Mulk, itself shows the importance of the surah. Because this is Al-Mulk. Al-Mulk, the dominion, kingship, authority of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Al-Malik? Al-Malik, Malik Al-Mulk. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. This mulk belongs to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whomsoever He pleases, and He is the one who takes it away from whoever He pleases as well. He is the one who is the king of all kings, the owner of sovereignty, and the owner of all authority. بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. In Surah Az-Zumar we learn, لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He is the owner of everything. All of the keys of the heavens and the earth, they belong to Him. He is the master. He is the king. In Surah Al-Munafiqun we learn, وَلِلَّهِ خَزَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belong the treasures of the heavens and the earth. So this mulk, who does it belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the real king? Who is the greatest one? Allah. And this surah gives us the ma'rifah of who Allah is. Gives us the recognition of who our creator is. Who Allah is, what is His grandeur like, what is His greatness like, what is His might like, what is His power like, and what is His authority like. From this surah, Suratul Mulk, the last group of the surahs of the Quran begins. The last group, the final group. And the first, the beginning portion of this group is based on all Makki surahs, and they conclude with Madani surahs. There is a difference of opinion with regards to some surahs in this group, whether they are Makki or Madani. But majority of them, what are they? Makki. And the last five, they are Madani. The first 43 surahs, they are all Makki, and the last five are Madani. The primary theme of the previous juz was to support the deen, to be of the Ansarullah, to help the deen of Allah. And the primary theme of this juz is to convey the message forward, to convey the Quran to all of mankind. So basically, what is it? Da'wah ilallah, calling people to Allah. And this is a general wasiyah, a general advice that we learn in this juz. If you think about it, when can a person call people to Allah? When he knows who Allah is. Because you cannot call someone to something that you're not aware of, to someone whom you do not know. So the work of da'wah can only be done when a person is aware himself, when a person knows Allah himself. This is why this juz extensively mentions the ma'rifah of Allah, who Allah is, his attributes, his favors upon people. And all of the surahs in this juz encourages us to call people to Allah. Because it is the responsibility of every single individual of this ummah to call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a gathering of 100,000 people, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey from me even if it's one ayah. Which means that every single person is responsible to convey forward, to call people to Allah. And if you think about it, all those 100,000 people who were in that gathering, were they all scholars? Were they all learned men? No. This is why we learned that Imam Ahmad, he said that man alima mas'alatan fahuwa alimun biha, that he who learns of even one issue, then he is knowledgeable of it. And when he is knowledgeable of it, then it is his responsibility to pass it on, to convey it to others. So this juz repeatedly reminds us of this obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed on us. We have been told, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا, save yourselves and your families from the fire. And for that, what do you have to do? You have to convey. You have to pass on this light. You have to share this light. You cannot just keep it to yourself. In this juz, we will learn about Nuh alayhi salam in Surah Nuh, how he conveyed the message day in and day out, openly and secretly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of this responsibility of ours because it is very, very essential, very important. And the truth is that once something has hit you, once something has affected your heart, you cannot just keep it to yourself. You definitely have to share it with other people. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, when he became a Muslim, did he wait for 20 years to become a scholar and then pass the message on? No. As soon as he became a Muslim, he went and spoke to so many people. And immediately, many people became Muslim at his hands. So this is the responsibility that Allah reminds us of, and a person can only fulfill this responsibility when he has the ma'rifah of who Allah is. When a person realizes the greatness of Allah, then he will definitely call people to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. Blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is over all things competent. He is able to do everything. Who? Allah. تبارك, he is blessed, he is exalted, meaning he is مبارك. And who is مبارك? One who has a lot of barakah. And what does barakah mean? An-numu wa-ziyada, growth and increase. And when something grows, when something increases, when there is an abundance of it, then what does it show? It's perfection. So tabaraka, what does it mean? That he is kathirul khair, that he has a lot of khair, he is the source of benefit, he gives a lot of goodness, he also benefits. Tabaraka. He is blessed, greatly blessed, the one who is perfect, and the one who is high and exalted. Who is he? الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, in whose hand is the dominion. Meaning in his exclusive ownership and control is the mulk of everything. Not just the mulk of the samawat, but the mulk of the earth as well. And not just one earth, but the seven earths. الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, in his exclusive ownership and control, as well as disposal, is the dominion, the kingship of every single thing. So everything, who does it belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The possession of everything, whose is it? Allah. Absolute authority, absolute sovereignty, who has it? Only Allah. Absolute control and supremacy, whose is it? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is over everything capable, competent. His mulk includes the heavens and the earth. His mulk includes the land and the sea. It includes the jinn and the angels and men. and trees and stars, everything that we know of and everything that we don't know of. Because بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, it's only with Him. In Surah Yasin, ayah 83, we learn, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So exalted is He in whose hand is the realm of all things. All things, it's malakut. Who does it belong to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him you will be returned. And He is the only one who has control over everything as well. And no one shares in this attribute with Him. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. We see that Allah, He is not just the Khaliq, and He is not just the Malik, but He is also Qadir. He is also all able. Because if you think about it, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, what does it show? That He is Malik, and He is the one who has supreme authority. But at the same time, we see, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that He is also Qadir. Because there are many who have authority, but do they have power? They don't have power. They are limited in their ability. They are limited in their abilities and their actions and what they can accomplish. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above any weakness. So He is able to accomplish whatever He pleases. So He is the Lord whose servant you are. He is the Khaliq whose makhluq you are. And He is the Malik whose mamluk you are. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. Who is He? الذي خلق الموت والحياة. It is He who has created death and life. Why? ليبلوكم, so that He may test you, He may try you. And notice, كم, all of you, every single one of you, none is exempt from this. What is He testing? That أيكم أحسن عملا, which of you is best indeed. When it comes to actions, who performs the best actions? And at the same time, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ, He is the exalted in might, and also the one who is very forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this ayah about the purpose of our lives. Why? He has created us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. First of all, He tells us that He is the one who has created death and life. He is the one who has originated us. He is the one who has brought us into existence. If He didn't bring us into existence, we would be nothing. We would be nowhere. And Allah is the one who has created everything. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. And then, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so that He may test you. So He is telling us that He did not create us for no reason, for no purpose, but rather He created us for a purpose. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. What does lam mean? This lam is of illah, ta'leel. That the reason behind creating death and life, the reason behind giving death and life to His creatures, especially human beings, is because He is testing us. We have learnt, وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You were dead, and He gave you life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ, then He will give you death, and then ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ, and then He will give you life again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. That we see that people, they were non-existent. Who brought them into existence? Allah. And when they have completed their terms, who will take their souls away? Who will give them death? Allah. And then once they have died, who will resurrect them? Again, Allah. Is this meaningless? Is this without a purpose? No, it's not without a purpose. Allah is telling us over here the purpose. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He is testing us as to which of us are good in deeds. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. So we see here that Allah has created life and He has created death for a purpose. And what is that? A test. And what is that test? That He is watching us, He is observing us, that who does well? Who performs good actions? Who performs the best deeds? And when He performs the best deeds, does He become worthy of entering into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's masterpiece, which is Jannah, which is paradise? Because what's the objective of the test? To see who's worthy. Worthy of what? Entry in Jannah. Because Allah wants to select the very best people for His very best place. Jannah is the most beautiful place, and it's only the most beautiful people who deserve to go there. And beautiful not in physical appearance, but beautiful in their actions, in their akhlaq, in their thinking, in their behavior, in their manners, in their ibadah. So the one who does ahsan amal becomes worthy of entering where? Allah's masterpiece, which is Jannah. If you think about it, we are in this dunya. Before we came here, we were dead. And after our life ends, we will be dead again. But after that death, there is resurrection. And then Allah will examine people that who has succeeded and who has failed. Who is worthy of entering Jannah and who is not. And what is it that makes a person worthy of entering Jannah? Ahsan amal. What is ahsan amal? What is best action? What are best deeds? They are not those deeds which we think to be beautiful, which we think in our imagination to be good and excellent. No. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ. It is not according to your hopes. Ahsan amal is not what we think is ahsan. Similarly, ahsan amal is not what shaitan shows as ahsan either. There are people who perform deeds and they think they are doing the most excellent deeds. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Such people are the greatest losers. قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعِيهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. So it's not just what a person thinks is good. Similarly, shaitan also beautifies actions for a person. زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So many times we learn in the Quran. So what is good action? It's that which is beautiful in Allah's sight. That which is liked by Allah. And when is an action good according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When the intention behind it is good. And the deed is performed beautifully as well. This is what makes an action good. What? When the intention behind it is good. And secondly, it's performed in a beautiful manner as well. Therefore, a good deed would be that which is done with ikhlas, with sincerity, for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of gaining praise or appreciation from people. Secondly, a good deed is that which is done according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that is the way that Allah likes. This is why Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. When you follow the sunnah, what will happen? يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah will also love you. So what does it show? Ahsan amal is that which is done according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because when a person will do that, Allah will like his actions. Why the sunnah of the Prophet? Because who was he? His life, his example is what? Uswatun hasana. It's the best example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us himself. So until a person's life is not according to that example, his deeds cannot be beautiful. Because Allah sent him as what? Rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy for all the worlds. He is the one who came and showed us what is good, what is bad. And his manner was the most excellent one. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised his dhikr. Why? Because he was so good in his actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us that we have to pronounce the adhan. And constantly the adhan is pronounced around the globe. And whose name is being mentioned? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah loves his actions. Allah loved the way he worshipped Allah. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And whose manners, whose deeds, whose akhlaq was the best one. We learn in the Quran about the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He had the best moral conduct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him lead the rest of the prophets in prayer. All of the prophets were led by who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in prayer. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for Mi'raj, he went where no angel goes. He ascended to that place where even Jibreel does not go. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his actions are the best ones. And our criteria, our standard should be what? To follow his sunnah. This is why if a person's deeds do not become like the deeds of the Prophet ﷺ, then his deeds are not beautiful. If our sleeping is not like his sleeping, our sleeping is not beautiful. It's not worthy of any reward. If our waking up is not like his, it's not beautiful. If our eating is not like his, it's not beautiful. If our talking is not like his, it's not beautiful. If our manner of interacting with one another, walking and talking and dealing with other people is not like his, it is not beautiful. So what is the standard then of Ahsan Amal? What is the criteria? The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is the test of our lives. That which of you are best in deeds? What kind of actions do you perform? If you want to perform the best deeds, follow the sunnah of the Prophet. If you think about it, whose way is it that we are inclined to? Because whoever's way we are inclined to, whoever's way we are impressed by, that is what we will follow. That is what we will imitate. If the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ becomes the most beautiful way, the perfect way, the best way in a person's sight, then he will definitely follow his sunnah. But if a person does not revere the sunnah, does not respect the sunnah, does not love the sunnah, he will not be able to follow it. If he does not follow it, his actions will not be ahsan. If they're not ahsan, he has failed then. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah is testing us, which of us are best in deeds. This is the test of our lives. Now if you think about it, in order to be successful in any test that you take, what do you have to do? You have to prepare for it. You have to study for it. And what do you have to study for it? What do you prepare for it? Whatever you wish? No. Whatever is? Whatever you are going to be tested on, right? So a person studies and practices the material that he is going to be tested on, not something else. If he practices something else, if he studies something else, no matter how much he does it, and no matter how well he knows it, no matter how good he becomes at it, can he pass the test? No. If he studies something other than the curriculum, and he does his best, he does excellent at that, can he pass the test? No, he cannot. He will never ever be successful. Therefore, the only way of being successful in this test of life is what? That a person acts according to the guidelines that Allah has given. That a person does that which Allah likes, that which Allah has taught. Because unfortunately, people have their own standards these days. Every person thinks that what I am doing is best. Isn't it so? Every person thinks that their way of life, their way of doing things is the best. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent us in this world without any knowledge, without any guidance, without any instruction. No, Allah has sent guidance from the very beginning. And that guidance is what we must adopt. If we don't adopt that and we adopt everything else, we are failures. We can never be successful. And for us, what is the criteria? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent messengers from the very beginning, scriptures, and messengers who were a practical example for the people, who taught the people, showed them the way of how to be obedient to Allah. So لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. What does it mean? That we have to do that which Allah likes. We have to do that which Allah has taught. And that is in the form of the Qur'an, the sunnah, the hikmah. So many times we learn in the Qur'an about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah has sent him, yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah. Isn't it so? Why? Because this is what Allah wants us to do. If we don't follow that, our actions cannot be ahsan. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. This is why we must understand and know the deen. Because if we don't know the deen, can we follow it? We cannot. If we don't follow it, can our actions be good? No. Because when a person does not follow the deen, then he is definitely doing something else. No matter what he is doing, Allah does not like it. Allah does not consider it to be ahsan. Ahsan is only that which Allah has taught. This is why it is imperative that we learn ourselves and we also tell other people about it. We also show this way to others. And in order to do that, we must realize first and foremost the purpose of our lives. Why are we here? Why did Allah send us here? Everything in this dunya has a purpose behind it. Isn't it so? If you think about it, nothing in this world is meaningless. A table has a purpose. A bench has a purpose. A piece of cloth has a purpose. A small sponge has a purpose. A pen has a purpose. A pin has a purpose. Isn't it so? Every single thing has a purpose behind it. It's not meaningless. So when everything has a purpose, and people also have a reason behind their existence. We learn in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dukhan, ayah number 38-39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We have not created the heavens and the earth and whatever that is between them too as ones at play. مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We have not created them except with haq, meaning for a just cause. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of them do not know. And everything that Allah has created is for a limited time as well. If you think about it over here, two things are mentioned. Al-maut wal-hayat. What does it show? That when we are living, our life is not eternal. Eventually it will come to an end. A season that comes in, it's not eternal. Eventually, it is replaced by another one. The night that comes in, it's replaced by a day. Nothing in this dunya is permanent, which shows to us that even we are not permanent. If we are headed somewhere, if we are going somewhere, that means we are here for a reason. Just as the night is there for a reason, the day is there for a reason. Similarly, we are also here for a reason. And that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created men and jinn except that they should worship me. If you think about it, everything around us is benefiting who? Us. And we have been created for who? Allah. Everything He has made for us, and us He has made for who? Himself, for His worship. And those who worship Him in the best way are those whom He will admit into His masterpiece, Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Insan, ayah number 2, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, we have created man from a sperm drop mixture, that we may try him. نَبْتَلِيهِ. We may test him. And we have made him hearing and seeing for this purpose. Human beings are different from the rest of the creatures. Isn't it so? You see, you hear, and tables, chairs, walls, trees, they don't see, they don't hear the way we do. Isn't it so? Similarly, animals, they hear and see, but is their hearing and seeing like ours? No. The nature of human beings is very, very different, which shows that their purpose is also different. In the sense that they are being tested. The way human beings are actually being tested in this dunya, and the rest of the creatures, they're not being tested because they don't have a free will. Who has free will? Human beings only. So with this free will, Allah is checking us. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of you are best in deeds? And then Allah says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And He is the mighty and the forgiving. Two attributes of Allah are mentioned over here. The one who is mighty in His punishment. If you don't do أحسن عمل, if you don't prove yourselves worthy of entering Jannah, then Allah is Aziz. He is mighty in His punishment against those who disobey Him. You cannot escape Him. You cannot run away from Him. But at the same time, Allah is Al-Ghafoor, forgiving. Forgiving towards who? Those who turn to Him. So if you are obedient otherwise, He will pardon you for your shortcomings. Because after all, you are a human being. We'll listen to the recitation of these two ayat.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور.
So what is the key to success? أحسن عمل ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Notice it hasn't been said حسن, just good. What has been said? أحسن, best, excellent, better. Similarly, it hasn't been said أكثر, more. But what has been said? أحسن. Because it's not the quantity, it's the quality. It's not just being good, it's about being better. Because there are different levels of actions, isn't it so? There are different levels of excellence. You can do something at an average level, in the sense that, for example, a person does something, even if it's eating or drinking. He can drink water, how? In one sip, in one breath, the whole glass, the whole cup. He can drink it like that. Okay, he drank it, he said Bismillah. Okay. But if he says Bismillah, and then he drinks in three sips, and then after that he also praises Allah, he also thanks Allah, does that make that action ahsan? Yes. There are different levels. So the more you adhere to the sunnah, the more you adhere to the commands of Allah, the better and more excellent the actions of a person become. And the more better they become, the more excellent they become, the more good that person becomes in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that amal includes everything that you do. Your standing is an amal. Your thinking is an amal. Your speaking is an amal. Your waiting at this bus stop is an amal. Your waiting for a program to download on your computer is also an amal. Isn't it so? Everything in your life, what is it that you do that is amal? Remember I told you, even tark, leaving something, is an amal. Staying away from something is also an amal. And we see that in everything that we do, we have the opportunity of making it ahsan, doing it in the very best way. Because when a person does an action in the very best way, then it becomes a source of reward for him. Otherwise, that action could be just useless, just a burden for him on the day of judgment. Isn't it so? So for example, when it comes to thinking, how can thinking be ahsan? That a person thinks positive thoughts, that a person thinks good thoughts, that a person is planning to do good things, not just daydreaming about what happened yesterday or what he wants to do without making any solid plan. Similarly, when it comes to talking, how can talking be ahsan? When a person removes all bad words from his speech, when a person says good words in his speech, when a person says that which is useful, which is beneficial, which is relevant. Not that he's wasting his time and other people's time by talking endlessly about meaningless things. Similarly, what else can we make ahsan? Which other amal of ours can we make ahsan? Yes, giving sadaqah, giving something to someone, you could just hand it to them like that. But the other is that you clean it, you perfume it. Aisha radhiyallahu anha used to perfume whatever she would give. Why? Because that's ahsan, that's much better. You could see someone and look away, or you could see someone and smile at them. You could see someone, look at them in the eye, and walk away, but you could go up to them and say salam and ask them how you're doing. You could see someone who's walking with a bag, and you could carry just your bag and walk away, or you could walk up to them and ask them, you want some help? Isn't it so? So your walking can be ahsan. Your looking at someone can also be ahsan. It can be. And the person who realizes the purpose of his life, he knows he's here for a reason, he will make sure that every deed of his is ahsan. He will not want to waste any opportunity. Sometimes it happens that we have so much time in ourselves, but we're just waiting for things to happen. Whereas those moments can also be used in the best way. Isn't it so? Like for example, if you're sitting in front of the computer and you're just waiting for the program to open up, you're just waiting for the software to download, you're just waiting for the computer to start up, how many moments go by in that? How many moments? Several. Sometimes a minute or two, sometimes 15 seconds, sometimes 30 seconds, isn't it so? Sometimes it tells you it will take this much time, isn't it so? Now that time you could be just sitting there staring at the screen, or you could be saying Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Isn't it so? So your waiting also can be ahsan. If you are concerned about your life, if you are concerned about your moments, if you are focused on the purpose of your life, every action can become better. then it becomes easier to forgive. It becomes easier to pardon. It becomes easier to overlook the mistakes of other people. It becomes easier to put in effort even when you're tired. Because what does Allah want from us? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. And He is the mighty and He's also the forgiving. He's mighty, He can punish you if you disobey Him. And He is Ghafoor if you do some mistake, which you may because you are a human being. But if the rest of your actions are good, then Allah is also forgiving. Exactly. Otherwise, Ahsan Amal would be very difficult. It would be very inconvenient, isn't it? Following the Sunnah sometimes becomes extremely difficult for a person. Smiling at the other person, you know, you're like, why me? Huh? Helping somebody, why me? Cleaning a place, why me? A person may think like that. But when will it become easier for you to do it? When you realize the purpose of your life. People who want to achieve something in their lives, they are so focused and they keep questioning themselves, they keep analyzing themselves that have you achieved what you want to achieve? Have you done something? And if they haven't done anything, they're honest with themselves that they haven't achieved their goal, then they change their strategy, they do something different. So imagine, even a non-Muslim who has a purpose in his life, who wants to achieve something in his life, he becomes so focused. Every single day he's asking himself, questioning himself. We have a purpose in life as well, and Allah has told us about it. Should we not be more focused on that? Should we not question ourselves, analyze ourselves on a daily basis? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we accomplishing what we must accomplish? Yes, learning is the first step. In the previous surah, we learned about the example of Maryam alayhi salam. That how وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. That Maryam alayhi salam, she was learned, she was obedient, she was a great worshipper. And in order to become a great worshipper, what do you have to do? Learn first. صَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ. You have to learn first. If you don't know, you cannot do it. Ahsan Amal doesn't just come up from nowhere. You have to be very focused. You have to have certain targets. And you have to have goals set for yourself. And you have to plan them out. Only then you'll be able to do it. Part of that is learning.
People, the main thing they say is that I don't have time. And he gave an analogy on this. And he's like, this is like a person waiting on a train. And a train comes and the doors open. And this train is life. And it's going to take them to like a adventurous place, and there's so much things that's going to happen on the train, and the person's being told, come onto the train, but the person replies, I don't have time. The doors of the train are not going to wait for him, they're going to leave him. So this is life. Life isn't going to wait for you. You have to take action and change something.
Exactly. And if you keep delaying, then you'll end up with nothing. Isn't it so? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. He who has created seven heavens in layers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hand is the mulk, who is able to do everything, the one who has created death and life, the one who is testing us, the one who is aziz and ghafoor, is the same one who has created the seven skies. And how has he created them? طِبَاقًا, in layers. طِبَاق is from the root letters طَبَاقَاف. And طِبَاق is from the word tabaq, and tabaq is to place one thing on top of the other. One thing on top of the other that fits right above it. So basically when something is in layers, stacked up. So He has made the seven heavens how? In layers. In layers, that one is above the other. But isn't that amazing? That one is above the other, yet there is a huge distance between each of the two skies. Each of the two layers, a huge distance between the two of them. What does this show to us? That Allah has created the seven heavens in layers. It indicates to us the order, the organization, the balance that Allah has placed in His creation. Allah tells us in the Quran, أَلَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. The one who has made excellent everything that He has created. So when Allah has أَحْسَنَ in everything that He has created, then should we not do ahsan when it comes to our deeds? Yes. Because all of this creation Allah has made for whose benefit? Our benefit. And what are we required to do in return when we use all of these blessings, when we benefit from them? Worship Him. So how should we worship Him? Through average deeds? mediocre, low class? No. Our deeds should also be excellent, because look at how He favors us. He has made the skies طِبَاقًا in layers one above the other without any contact between them. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِن تَفَاوُتٍ. You do not see in the creation of the Most Merciful, meaning in the creation that the Most Merciful has made, you do not see in that مِن تَفَاوُتٍ any kind of disharmony, any kind of inconsistency. تفاوت. تفاوت is from the root letters فاوت. And فوت is to pass away, to vanish. And تفاوت is used for اختلاف, difference. It is when one thing goes and as a result there is a gap. When there will be a gap, there is a discrepancy, there is inconsistency. So you don't see in the creation that Allah has created any kind of inconsistency, any kind of disharmony. Rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, it's regular, it's free of any gaps. And مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِن تَفَاوَتٍ. This is with regards to every single creation. Every single creation, He has created it in the best way, with the best characteristics. Any kind of tafawut you don't see in any creation. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ. So return the vision. هَلْ تَرَى مِن فُطُور. Do you see any rift? Return your vision to what? To the sky. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ. رُجُور. Meaning, cast your gaze, cast your eyes, your glance to the sky and see. Search. Do you find any futur? Do you find any ruptures? Futur is a plural of the word fatr. And fatr is to tear something lengthwise for the first time. And from this, futur is used for gaps, rifts, holes, cracks. So in this creation that Allah has created, primarily it's referring to the sky, do you see any kind of futur? Do you see any gaps, any cracks, any holes in the sky? No. When you look at the sky, what do you see? What do you see? A consistently beautiful sky. Isn't it so? A balanced sky. You don't find any holes in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging us. Look at the sky. Pay close attention to it. You will not see any flaw. You will not see any deficiency, any defect, any rifts.